Turn in your Bibles today to the book of John chapter 10. John chapter 10. I want to preach this morning on the subject, the abundant life. The abundant life. I'm going to have us to begin looking at verse number 7 in John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse number 7. I want to especially this morning have us to notice verse 10 in particular as far as the verse context for my thought. Let me begin reading verse number 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And so that's the verse number 10, for the text verse of our thought today, the abundant life. Let's pray. Our Father, we bow before you today, thanking you for the presence of the Lord in our midst today in this church service. We thank you, Father, for the precious Word of God that we now can open, and we can read from, and we can preach. Bless today, I pray, meet needs this morning in every person's life. If there's someone here this morning that does not have life, spiritual life, may this be their date of their spiritual birthday today. And then, Father, help us all that know the Lord to know something more about this abundant life. And now direct our thoughts to the Word of God. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Jesus said, I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. When we think of life, we obviously, first of all, think of physical life. There's a lot of living people today upon the face of this earth. In fact, we're told that there are roughly close to 7.3 billion people in this world. 7.3 billion people. According to most recent United Nations estimates, the human population of the world is expected to reach 8 billion people in the spring of 2024. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. Now, for most people, and I think I can qualify what I'm about to say, for most people that are living today, life is nothing more than time spent between birth and death. That sounds like a kind of a strong statement, but you stop and think about it. Jesus said, "Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it." He said, few. I believe today that out of the populace, out of the population of this world, when it comes right down to it, apart from, of course, God's grace taking care of infants and young people, there are, in compared to the total population, adult-wise, I believe there's far more people lost without God than there are saved, based upon that. Now, one does not find life or pleasure just in pleasure itself. You see, life for many people today is just simply existence. There's the drudgery of existence, the boring monotony of the routine, the hope of having enough until the end. That's how a lot of people approach life. It's like getting on the merry-go-round. You go round and round and round, but you get off on the same place where you got on. And it is, isn't it tragic when you stop and think about it? But most, many people go through life, and really, as far as the life, the abundant life, since they know nothing about it, all it is just simply existence. One doesn't find life in pleasure. Try as you may, in the pursuit of pleasure, eventually, the law of diminishing returns will take hold. It takes a bigger thrill, It takes a bigger event to bring another high, but it never lasts. It's just like someone has said that the drug marijuana is a beginner drug. In other words, it many times, statistically, it leads to stronger drugs. It's somewhat of a beginner drug. People want something stronger, something that'll give a bigger high. I'm saying this morning that life is not, real life is not found in pleasure. In pleasure. One doesn't find life in performance. In mere performance. A Wimbledon tennis champion thought all his life, he went through his life, he was thinking, if I can just win a major tournament, he said, that will make my life more exciting than I've ever known it. And he said this following his championship. The thrill of victory lasts about 15 minutes. That's what he said. Life is not found in possessions. He who has money will never have enough. That is a fact. People who are seeking pleasure just in money will never find enough of it because they're going to want more. I heard of an interesting illustration one time of a family that were anxiously gathered around the attorney. And the attorney was reading the last will and testament. And the family were sitting there on the edge of their seats expecting and waiting to hear their name called in terms of their inheritances. And the attorney started out by reading this. I, John Samuel Smith, being in sound mind and body, spent it all. One doesn't find life in position. In position. Too often people think that if they can receive a certain promotion or gain another status of life or live in a certain area, they'll just be happy. Position. Some people are controlled by the ambition of another position. That's just like the many politicians that are running for positions. And particularly those that are running for president. I guess I'd have a question this morning. I'd ask any of them. I'd say, why do you want it? Who wants to be the president? Now, I know you hear the noble and humble and gracious and statesman-like answers like, I love my country. I want to help it. Well, would to God, if they really loved their country, they would have some policies that would be conducive to what this country was founded upon. But that's another sermon for another time. But the crave for position, for power, to be able to control. You know, I've never really understood power freaks anyway. Why? You know, the vestige of power means more responsibility. The more power people have, the more responsible that makes them. Power, the luster of power, cannot be found in a position necessarily, in a status. A person has truly proven their power if they are wise, if they conduct themselves accordingly, if they live responsibly, if they live in light of accountability. That's how power needs to be matched. But many people think that power is the very essence of happiness. One doesn't find life in pursuits. Some people are deluded into thinking that if they stay busy enough in their pace of life, then they will discover a greater life. The truth is, and I know I'm preaching to the Sunday school along this line, but the truth is, life is not found in pleasure. It's not found in performance. It's not found in position. It's not found in possessions. It's not found in pursuits. It's found in the person of Jesus Christ. Life is found in the person of Jesus Christ, according to the text. One day, a man by the name of George Adam Smith, who was an Englishman, traveled extensively in the Middle East, came across a sheepfold, and said to the shepherd, he said, is this where you go and the sheep find lodging for the night? The shepherd said, yes. He says, in this sheepfold they are perfectly safe. The Englishman said to the shepherd, he said, but where is the door? He actually said this, he says, I see. He said, there's no door. Where's the door to the sheepfold? And the shepherd responded, I am the door. Sir George looked at him and asked, what do you mean by the door? And then the shepherd answered, he said, when the light has gone down and all the sheep are inside, he said, I lie in the open space and no sheep can get across unless they go over my body, and no wolf can come in unless it crosses over my body. I am the door. My friend, that's exactly what Jesus is saying in this precious passage of Scripture. I am the door. I'm glad to say this morning that God's people are safe inside the sheepfold. I'm glad that the enemy cannot get at us unless they go over the door. In other words, we are secure in Jesus Christ as the door. It's fair to say, however, that the majority of people that are living today are just simply existing, going through the routine of life. Many people are bored with life. Many find life painful. And many view life as a vain experience. Many can't endure life, so they end it prematurely. 2009, a man by the name of Adolf Merkel, Germany's wealthiest man, killed himself. Why? He killed himself because of disastrous investments and the global financial crisis. He took his own life. His story is a story of many. Many people go through life, they accumulate all kinds of things, they have power, prestige, and possessions, and then they wind up taking their life. The answer is why? Because life is vain and futile and empty without God. Real life and happiness is not found in the abundance of things. It's not found in the quest of power. It's not found in a prestigious title. Real life is found in Christ. And could I say this morning that not only He came that He might give life, but thank God I read something else in that verse, that they might have it more abundantly. I'm here to say this morning that God's people not only have life, but we have the potential of having abundant life. There's really a lot that can be said in that precious truth there. But many people commit suicide because of loss of fortune, because of failure in meeting goals, because of addiction, or maybe because of relationship issues. But the greatest reason for failure is in the matter of the spiritual relationship with God. It's just like this. It's like a watch. A watch owes its existence to a watchmaker. If anyone should know the intricacies and the maintenance and the care of a watch, it should be a watchmaker. If I want to get my watch fixed, I'll not take it to an auto mechanic nor to an electrician. I'll take it to a watchmaker. I just believe this morning. Since God is a creator of life, and since God is a sustainer of life, then it would stand to reason to me this morning that only God is the one that can give the real essence and joy in life. And I think this, I believe in reality, you can trace so many of the problems today when it comes to emotional problems, when it comes to grief and distress. Perhaps, I'm not saying in all cases, some people maybe do have a chemical imbalance. But many times, when our relationship perpendicular is not right, that can affect us on a horizontal scale. When we're not right upward. Jesus said, I'm come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Let me say a few things about this truth here. The abundant life. What is it? Now, Could let me point this out. Now look at verse 9. I think that we need to look at verse 9 perhaps to understand a little bit more about the abundant life mentioned in verse 10. He said, I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Now keep the word saved in mind when we look at verse number 10 where it says, I'm come that they might have life. I believe the life that's spoken of in verse number 10 is the saved life, the person that is saved. But now looking back at verse number 9, it says, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The idea there in the last part of that verse where it says find pasture, it has to do with being nourished. Being nourished. Sheep that are in the fold, they're not only saved, but they're also nurtured. They're also nourished. Here's what I'm saying today. I believe this. I believe life in the context of verse 10 is talking about being saved. But I believe that abundant life ties in with verse number 9 where it talks about finding pasture or being nourished. Here's my point I'm making this morning. Nourished sheep are enjoying abundant life. Nourished sheep. I'm talking about growing, developing, maturing in Christ. They are enjoying abundant life. I know this. I know that when a person is saved, they're given eternal life. Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, thus shall never perish. Same chapter. Eternal life is locked in the moment we get saved. But the thing of abundant life is reserved for those sheep that are being nourished, that are finding pasture, that are maturing, that are developing. This thing of abundant life. I believe this. I believe the abundant life, to give you just a few quick points here, the abundant life is a distinguished life. It's a distinguished life. I say it's distinguished because it's an eternal life. It's a Christ-lived life. That makes it a distinguished life. Would you agree with me this morning? It's one thing to be alive physically, but it's another thing to have a distinguished life, namely, of being saved. And being led by the Good Shepherd. I believe the abundant life is a distinguished life. It's a Christ-lived life. I want to say this morning to you, if you're here unsaved, thank God today you're alive physically, but I'll tell you, my friend, you need to be alive spiritually too. Most importantly, in fact. Brother Jim's father's favorite verse, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the distinguished life. It's a Christ-lived life. That's what the abundant life is. It is a distinguished life. I can look any one of you in the face this morning as a Christian and say to you, you have a distinguished life. You have a life one of a kind. You have a unique life. You have a precious life. You have a life with God as its author. You have a life that will last forever. What a distinguished life. Now imagine this. Imagine going through physical life and having hordes of wealth and dying as a miserable lost person. What do you really have? Whatever you had, you leave. I'd rather myself invest in something that will outlive this life, would you? I'd rather have something waiting me over on the other shore. The abundant life is a distinguished life. Number two, the abundant life is a directed life. It's a directed life. Open to His direction. My sheep, Jesus said, hear my voice. They hear my voice. It's a directed life. In other words, it's talking here about the fact the abundant life is a Christian who's listening to the Lord, who's obedient to the Lord, hearing the voice of the shepherd. Keen, hearing, obedient. You heard about the old man that was wearing a hearing aid and he went back to see the audiologist, I guess I pronounced it right, about how his hearing aid was doing. And the audiologist asked him, sir, how's your hearing aid? How's it going? He said, well, he said, it's doing much better. He said, I've changed my will now 3 times. Speaking of hearing, I heard about 3 men that went deer hunting. One was a lawyer, one was a doctor, and one was a preacher. A buck steps out, Brother Steve, and all 3 shot at the same time. They couldn't find a single bullet hole in the buck. The buck dropped. They couldn't find a single bullet hole in the buck. A game warden just happened to come by, and the game warden looked at the deer, and he heard them squabbling over who shot it. And the game warden said, I'll tell you exactly who shot that deer, out of the lawyer or out of the doctor or from the preacher. He said, I know who shot it. He said, the preacher shot it. He said, I can see right now the bullet went one ear and out, and the one ear and out the other. I believe this, though. I believe that this abundant life is a obedient life, listening to the Lord. I'm saying it's a distinguished life. It is a directed life, and the abundant life is a discerning life. A discerning life. It understands something. It realizes that the Christian life is in God's hands and the Lord is in control. The experiences of life on the part of those that are enjoying this abundant life and walking with God and listening to God's voice, they view everything that's going on in our life as being a part of God's plan to develop His people. Nothing happens by accident. We will be the happiest as God's people if we understand that God does not place us off into some little remote island somewhere, so to speak, and leave us alone and just basically said, now I've done my part in saving you. You get through life the best way you know how. That's not the way my Heavenly Father works. He takes care of us. Nothing happens by accident. I guess you might say I'm on a little bit of a roll here this morning in something, trying to illustrate my point. Cowboy was applying for insurance. The agent asked him, he said, have you ever had any accidents? And the cowboy said, well, he said, I will tell you this. He said, a horse kicked in 2 ribs last summer. Then a couple of years ago, a rattlesnake bit me on the ankle. The insurance agent looked at him and said, he said, would you call these accidents? He said, no. He said, they both did it on purpose. I believe this morning that nothing happens by accident in the lives of God's people. In Romans 8:28, which you all know, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them are the called according to His purpose. Look at it like this. Imagine a mighty sea vessel, a mighty ship built with tons and tons and tons of steel. We all know that steel in itself and of itself and by itself does not float. You can take a nail, you can take a rivet, you can take a portion of that ship, let's say, you toss it in the water and it immediately submerges because steel cannot float. You put the ship together with the work of crafted shipbuilders. You have a ship that weighs literally hundreds and hundreds of tons, but yet it floats. And oftentimes it takes a lot to sink it. I look at life like that. If we try to single out any one of the experiences of life, it'll sink. We can't understand it. But when somehow, some way we can back off and realize that Romans 8:28 is very much true, God takes the different experiences of life and He blends them all together. And they're a part of God's developmental program for His people. The abundant life is a discerning life. It understands even sorrow. It understands grief. It has discernment. It realizes that God is that He loves me. He's taking care of me. He's my portion. It's been said that sorrow leads to four lands: barren, broken, bitter, or better. The ideal is number four. The person that has abundant life is discerning. They discern what really matters. They live in light of eternity. They know all the time whose they are. We need to understand all the time, Christian, whose we are. We belong to the Lord. You're going to get a kick out of this, Cheryl. I'm working on another book. I'm actually thinking about writing a book on heaven. I thought about this. Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." You want to know where heaven is? Heaven's in the Father's house. Here's what I like. You know, Christians, we're a messed up bunch of people many times, aren't we? Imagine, well, it's just like this. Imagine a family of people coming together on Thanksgiving. Let's say you got a family of eight kids. You got all the kids coming together. If you begin to look at the kids within this particular family, some of them, maybe you have one that was a nurse, maybe you have one that was a doctor, maybe you had one that did something else, and maybe out of that whole family, one of the children didn't really amount to a whole lot. But when they come into the Father's house, when they have their family reunion, guess what? The Father still treats them all special. Loves them all just the same. Background is not significant. Their possessions is not as important as who they are. Who they are. And I'll tell you, that's what heaven is. It's the Father's house. And there's so much that can be said along that line. I've said all that to say this morning. If God's people can only realize whose they are, God loves us all equally the same. His love is not conditioned by our status, by our wisdom, by our ability. He loves us equally the same. That's just what a father does. I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. We need to live in light of eternity, my friend. President Kennedy never realized when he ate his breakfast on the morning of November the 22nd, 1963, he'd be in eternity by 2 o'clock that afternoon. All the people that checked into work at the World Trade Center on September the 11th never realized that that would be the day that many of them would be carried out into eternity. We need to live in light of eternity. I'm saying this morning the abundant life is a distinguished life. It is a directed life. It is a discerning life. And then finally, it is a devoted life. It is devoted to priorities. All our resources, my friend, are found in the person of Jesus Christ. The psalmist put it well when he said, "In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." That's the abundant life. In the presence of the Lord. We need, somebody wisely said, when it comes to how we view life, we need to consider the things that make us mad, that make us sad, and make us glad. If we can determine what motivates us in those areas, that determines where our priorities are in life. What makes us mad? What makes us sad? What makes us glad? How we answer that will determine where our priorities are in life. Abundant life is not in money, it's not in things, it's not in power, it's not in pleasure, but it's in Christ. Somebody said that people spend money they don't have to buy things they don't need to impress people they don't like. And that's just about true. But here's the bottom line and the final point. We have got to know how to enjoy the giver in order to enjoy the gift. And I think this, I believe we're tapping into the abundant life when we get to the place where we're enjoying the giver more than the gift. Namely, loving the Lord It's about Him. It's about Him. Jesus said, I'm come that they might have life. That's salvation. But that they might have it more abundantly. That's a well-nourished sheep that goes in and finds that pasture. My challenge to every Christian this morning is be satisfied not simply with life. Go for the abundant life. You might say in the world's lingo, get all the gusto you can. But I mean that in the spiritual realm, get as close to God as you possibly can. I have a suspicion this morning that trying times are coming, more so than we've ever seen. If there's ever been a time that God's people need to be armed and robed and clothed and their eyes set upon the Lord and living for God and close to Christ, it's the days that are coming. We need God's power in our life to get through the mess that we're in. The abundant life is the answer. If you're here today unsaved, I recommend to you my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads.